Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Linda Jojo to the broadcast. Linda is the Executive Vice President of Technology and Chief Digital Officer for United Airlines, a $19 billion company. Since becoming EVP of Technology and CDO this past June, Linda has been responsible for strategy and operations of United's technology platforms and infrastructure, as well as United's mobile app, e-commerce, and commercial web platforms. Linda joined United in 2014 as Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer. Prior to United, Linda was EVP and CIO for Rogers Communications and has served as CIO for Energy Future Holdings Corporation and Flowserve Corporation. Linda is a member of the board of directors of Exelon Corporation. She also holds a bachelor's degree in computer science and a master's degree in industrial engineering, both from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. I recently caught up with Linda in her office in Chicago, Illinois, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 3, Project and Portfolio Management, as Linda shared how projects are aligned to meet customer expectations in the digital age. Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Linda discussed how her team works with IT and other teams across the company to test new customer-facing features. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by TopTal, an exclusive network of the top freelance software developers, designers, and finance experts in the world. I recently caught up with TopTal CEO Tasso Duval, and he offered the following top five trends for hiring top talent.
The top five trends for hiring top talent are, one, hiring talent remotely, ensuring that they are able to work remotely and that companies are hiring talent remotely. Two, leveraging teams in different dispersed locations. If you're hiring in-house and you're leveraging remotely a bit, being open to having talent even in the same time zone is an important factor that we've noticed. Three, highly skilled teams becoming the majority rather than the lead, meaning ensuring that the team composition comprises of predominantly high-skilled labor rather than high-skilled labor supported by lower-skilled labor. Four, infrastructure being created to support those teams, ensuring that the teams in-house are connected with the remote teams that are working together. And five, flexibility with offer packages. We've seen that even the in-house talent that are joining companies from Google to Facebook and on are interested in demanding that there is a remote component to their job, whether it's one day a week or full-time, be included within their offer packages.
Linda Jojo, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Peter, thanks. Great to be here.
My pleasure. Linda, I thought we'd begin with your role. Since June of 2017, you've been the Executive Vice President, Technology, and Chief Digital Officer at United Airlines. And this follows a period of more than 2.5 years as the EVP and CIO of United. And I wonder if you could take a moment just to talk about the change, what the newer title represents, and what's currently under your purview.
Sure. Well, what didn't change is my responsibility for technology, as I had one. My title was Chief Information Officer. But what we've added is responsibility for our digital strategy and ownership of our digital channels, such as our website, our apps, and our digital distribution.
That's excellent. Can you talk a bit about that digital strategy? What are some of the things that you have on offer? What I always find interesting in speaking with digital leaders within the travel space, especially the airline space, there's, of course, the service that we're all familiar with. I mean, in its most basic form, of course, booking a flight, going to the airport, boarding a plane, going from point A to point B, arriving, and then off to your destination, whether for personal or for business purposes. And I'm curious about your own thoughts about the enhancement of my gross oversimplification of that experience, the enhancements of that using digital means. What are some of the aspects of your digital strategy?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think certainly there's a huge customer-facing aspect of digital that you just described, but really, you know, like just about every industry these days, you know, digital is really pervasive throughout the organization and throughout the airline. So it really includes how do we really arm and empower our own employees with information about our customers, personal information, real-time information about our customers so they can serve them better. It's about harnessing the massive amount of operational data we have to improve the reliability of our airline, to get more involved and more predictive in our maintenance activities, and then to get even more sophisticated in our revenue management process.
I think that's so interesting. You mentioned all of that, Linda. And in some ways, there's been this push-pull, generally speaking, between marketing departments and technology divisions in terms of who owns and perhaps even which executive emerges as the ultimate leader of the digital conversation. And in hearing your that broader definition of what's encompassed in digital, the internal aspects, the operational aspects of digital, in addition to the customer-facing aspects of digital, in some ways, it speaks to so long as an IT leader like my present company has customer touch points, and unfortunately not all CIOs yet do, but so long as they do, the fact that they also traditionally have the operational knowledge, experience, the understanding of how the processes of the organization are knit together, that so long as he or she is a Mr. Inside or Ms. Inside and Outside, from that perspective, really kind of my own hypothesis that I'd like to test with you, an ideal combination, frankly, to have an executive emerge from the IT department to also lead digital. Is that a fair encapsulation of the opportunity, more generally speaking, for others who would wish to follow in your wake?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I think about, you know, what first attracted me to technology and then more specifically into technology in support of businesses versus a more core technology type career, it's really about the fact that it touches every corner of corporation or of an organization. And so when you start from that basis, I think IT executives and CIOs have a unique position to really contribute.
And how do you, if we can return to the customer aspects of this, how have you, of course, you are a traveler yourself and have been for quite some time as an executive. We'll cover some of your past history as CIO multiple times over, but also now as an executive who's driving a lot of the thinking behind this. How do you see customer expectations evolving in the travel space and the airline industry when it comes to digital channels?
Well, I think customers are becoming more and more sophisticated. Their expectations are rapidly increasing. And frankly, that's just awesome. I think the more that we can use technology to improve customer experience, give them better information about the flight they're about to book or the trip they're about to book, but all the way through their journey from that time all the way to where they get to where they need to be, I think it's actually, you know, a pretty exciting opportunity. But expectations are high. You know, we've always talked in the IT circles that there was a day when the best technology you had was in your office, and that quickly changed. And most people have really sophisticated technology in their pocket, and they have those expectations when they go to work, but also with all the different companies they interact with. And frankly, it doesn't matter whether it's a legacy or a hardcore business with lots of history and lots of old systems, or a brand new startup who has started off right in the cloud and is very nimble and quick. They have the same expectations of all of us.
And it strikes me, Linda, I mentioned a moment ago that unfortunately not all of your peers on the CIO portion of your responsibilities have appropriate levels of customer interaction. In fact, there's still a great number of CIOs who, when you ask them who their customer is, they refer to colleagues as opposed to the people who provide the revenue for the organization. And I wonder, you know, and especially those that are in, let's say, esoteric B2Bs or B2G companies, they may not have a reason to experience the product, to buy the product or the service that the organization offers. And that strikes me as an advantage that you have, is that every member of your team is a customer from time to time. And so I'd be curious about how you foster that sort of voice of the customer through your own staffs and your own set of experiences as customers of the airline.
Absolutely. You're right. There is a massive advantage to that. You know, we get to try our own products and every day, All of my colleagues get to try our own products every day. And that is an absolute advantage, and frankly, one that we're going to take more and more advantage of going forward. So as we want to try things, one of the best populations that we can try things on are fellow United employees. So if we have a new feature in the app, we want to see how that works or how that used. But we want to try that out either maybe first on the IT organization and then onto the broader organization to see. And it's I think that's a massive advantage. But there's no doubt that literally nearly every single person I meet has probably used our app, and I get lots and lots of feedback.
Great. I alluded to earlier that you are a CIO many times over. For more than a decade, you've been a chief information officer at organizations like Flowserve Corporation, Energy Future Holdings, most recently before United at Rogers Communications in Toronto. And I wonder now, with a dozen or 13 years under your belt as a CIO, how has the role evolved, in your opinion, across that time?
Wow. You were alluding to some companies don't have a direct customer engagement, and I think I put Flowserve in that category that makes engineered pumps and valves where their customers are other companies, usually in the oil and gas industry. But I would posit even at a company like Flowserve, the use of technology is becoming much, much more strategic. I think it's evolved from productivity and efficiencies inside the organization or with the customer base to really how you differentiate yourself to your customers and even allow your customers to do things that just wouldn't be possible in a more traditional physical world. So all of that moves the role of the CIO more and more, or the CDO more and more, to the strategic, the front line of the company.
I'd also be interested, lingering on your role as chief digital officer for the organization as well. What's your thought on that role? There are those who say that it is a transitional role, that as organizations are developing the digital agenda, implementing digital technology, thinking about, as we talked about before, the operational and customer implications of digital, that it's important to have somebody with the title who has that clear mandate by virtue of that, as well as, of course, the strategy that they're enacting. But that at some point, there's not going to be digital marketing, digital technology. It will simply be technology and marketing that has sort of digital as in its underpinnings. And I wonder, from your own perspective, the extent to which you have a thought on this, to what extent it's a transitional role versus one that you see, the majority of companies eventually having and having for the long term.
Wow. I think that the nature of all business today, there are inflection points. I think that digital is certainly a massive inflection point in business and how different industries or different companies organize around it, I'm sure is going to evolve. I think a lot of my role today is, in addition to, executing on the strategy, is also educating and showing what's possible to the rest of the organization. So whether that's taking them on field trips to Silicon Valley to show them how companies operate, or bringing in guest speakers or suggesting books to read, or bringing in folks from different corners of our organization to share ideas, it's really exposing and educating the other executives in the organization to what's possible. I think for sure that will over time diminish as they become more educated. And I think then naturally it will become embedded in what every executive does here at the airline. And I'm sure in other industries as well.
Another very interesting aspect of your career path is you're now a board level chief information officer, which is thankfully a growing fraternity sorority that's emerging among CIOs, but still a fairly exclusive one. Since September of 2015, you've been on the board of Exelon. And I wonder, number one, how the opportunity presented itself and the extent to which you were seeking board membership. And you can understand for the many CIOs who have this as one of their career ambitions, I'd be interested if you wouldn't mind tuning your answer towards, the advice you'd give others to seize these sorts of opportunities should they present themselves.
Exelon is one of the country's largest utility and generation company. And I think for sure some of my experiences in the past when I worked in Texas at Energy Future Holdings, so I had an understanding of the industry, was certainly attractive. as well as my technology background related to how technology is really changing how electricity will be delivered to consumers. So that was certainly an attractive part of my background. But I think without putting words in the committee, I think they were looking for, frankly, more than that. Someone who can absolutely speak to technology, to strategy, absolutely to cybersecurity, but also can participate in all parts of the boardroom conversation, not just be in my own swim line around technology. So, I guess the biggest advice I would give in a CIO aspiring to be on a board is to make sure that when you're having those conversations, you make sure they understand your business leadership and your overall leadership capabilities, not just your technology capabilities.
And I'm curious also, you mentioned cybersecurity, which is, I think, one of the growing reasons, among also the opportunistic reasons to bring on a technologist at organizations. I'm curious, like, as you go through and plan for discussions like this, the role of cybersecurity clearly is making its way to board conversations with greater frequency for obvious reasons. And I'd be curious about your own thought process around ensuring that you have that appropriate balance correctly, that as you're developing the new, that you are incorporating innovative ideas, that you're doing so mindful of the risks that need to be mitigated and managed as well.
There's no question that cybersecurity, or the word I would use is cyber risk, is increasingly an important discussion that has to go way beyond the technology organization into the whole company and including the board. And the reason I say cyber risk is the way to talk about it at that board level, I believe, is really about what type of risk this is. All boards are very accustomed and have processes to understand and manage risk, and cyber is just another risk they need to be continually thinking about. And so, as with all risks, you kind of decide which parts of the risk that you are going to, in effect, live with, and which are the ones that are unacceptable, and then you know, make sure from a governance perspective that the teams have everything they need to do that mitigation as best as they can. And the last thing I would say is, and then be prepared if something does happen, how you would respond to it.
I wanted to also ask you a more general question. You know, as you look to the future, Linda, are there certain technology trends that particularly excite you that are making their way onto your dashboard and your team's activities?
You know, without getting, you know, rattling off too many buzzwords in a row, you know, I would say that machine learning and AI and how we can absolutely process and understand and utilize the massive amounts of data that we have, both operationally and about our customers, is absolutely a new frontier, one that, you know, we are just starting to understand and starting to use, that I think can help us in all areas as we can just get to really starting to think about problems and solving problems that you really can't get at any other way. So that is, I would say, the biggest place that we're focusing right now. You know, if I would think of a second one, you know, this is about more on the consumer side. There's something to this natural language processing. And, you know, we are the first airline to allow you to check in using Amazon Alexa. And we will be on some of those other similar platforms very, very soon. It, you know, it's not that big of a breakthrough and frankly, not that much easier to check in on Alexa, but it's a great place for us just to start to learn how to process and use natural language and getting into more of a voice response that I think in our industry in particular, I think has a lot of application.
Your Alexa example is an interesting one. Do you encourage your team to play around with the latest technology in order to sort of think about its implications on the airline generally, on the plans that you have and so forth?
Actually, I didn't have to encourage them at all. They walked in and showed it to me about 10 minutes before it went into their into the Alexa store, which was great. They, by the way, this is going out, so which was great. I loved it. It was like they just didn't want me to read it in the newspaper, I guess.
But, right.
But no, that is one of the things. And, you know, it's hard in a organization where, you know, reliability and frankly, lack thereof makes national or international news, you know, there is not a lot of inherent risk-taking in airline IT organizations. And I think that actually should probably give, in general, people great comfort. But there is a time and a place for taking risks, and there is a time and a place for trying things, innovating. If it doesn't work, fail fast and move on. And so we are really trying to build that muscle here at United. And, we've got it in certain pockets, and the idea is to just kind of accelerate that through the whole organization. The days of multi-year, multi-million dollar projects where, the technology team goes to the basement for months at a time and then pops out with a solution really are over. It's about really short sprints, trying things, getting them out, seeing how customers react to them, building on that. That is really the absolute direction that we're moving in.
Excellent. Well, Linda Jojo, thank you so much for taking time with us this morning on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been great speaking with you.
Thanks, Peter. You too.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please join me next week when my guest will be Clay Johnson, the CIO and EVP of Business Services at Walmart. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.